Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Tet. This perek completes the Rambam's discussion of Kiddushin by addressing many cases of Suffik which can arise in different scenarios. It's very long, and we took advantage of the brevity of Perek Chet to learn the first few halachot together with the last perek. We pick up now with Halacha Zayin. Mi shehayu lo chamisha banim, ve'asu kulan et avihen shaliach lekadesh lehen isha, ve'amar avi habanim le'ish shehayu lo chamesh banot, achat mibnotecha mekudeshet l'achad mibanai, ve'kibel ha'av ha'kidushin, kol achat mehen tzricha chamisha gitin mikol ha'achim, ho'il v'kulan natnu rishut la'av lekadesh lehen. Meit echad mehem, kol achat mehem tzricha arba'a gitin, v'chalitza me'achad mehem. Five adult brothers appoint their father as a shaliach to be mekadesh all of them. The father finds a man who has five daughters, each one a katana or a nara, and says to him, one of your daughters is mekudeshet to one of my sons. And the father of the daughters accepts the kiddushin. As in the case from Halacha Gimel, where someone is mekadesh one of two sisters without specifying which one, the kiddushin here are valid, even though in our case, both parties, husband and wife, are unspecified. This means that each of the daughters needs a get from each of the brothers, 25 gittin in total. No brother may marry any daughter, because each daughter may be his sister-in-law, who remains forbidden even after divorce. If one of the brothers dies before giving any get, then each daughter requires chalitza from one of the four living brothers, in addition to a get from each of them, because chalitza is only required from one brother of a deceased husband. Halacha Chet. Ha'av shehayta lo bat ktana, o na'ara shehi birshuto, uvat bogeret, v'natna lo habogeret rishut lekadsha, v'kideish bito stam le'echad, ein habogeret baklal, ad shifaresh v'yomar, biti habogeret sha'asat oti shaliach, lefichach ein habogeret mekudeshet v'achuta mekudeshet. Suppose a man has two daughters, one a katana or na'ara, and the other a bogeret, and that the bogeret appoints him a shaliach to receive kiddushin on her behalf. If he subsequently accepts kiddushin from someone without specifying which daughter he's marrying off, the assumption is that he is marrying off the younger daughter, over whom he has automatic authority without the need to be appointed a shaliach. Only if he specifies that he is marrying off the bogeret is she mikudeshet. Halacha Tet. Mi sheyesh lo shtei kitei banot, mishtei nashim, v'chulan birshuto, v'kideish achat mehen, uvishat ha-kiddushin, Amar la Baal, kidashti la lecha et biti hagdola. Af al pi sheyesh lomar, shema gdola shebagdolot kideish lo, o gdola shebaktanot, o ktana shebagdolot, shi gdola min hagdola shebaktanot, harei kulan mutarot chutz min hagdola shebagdolot, vehi levada hamekudeshet. Suppose the father has two sets of daughters, one from each of two wives, and that all of them have the status of katana or nara. Suppose further that all the daughters from one wife are older than all of the daughters from the other wife. He marries off one daughter, telling the husband that he is marrying off Biti Hagdola, my older daughter. This is a very ambiguous statement, as it may refer to any of the daughters in the older group, who are all older than the daughters of the younger group, and it may also refer to the oldest daughter in the younger group. Nonetheless, we assume that a person is careful about potentially ambiguous language, and therefore when he said Biti Hagdola, he must have been referring to the oldest of all the daughters, that is, the oldest of the first group. Hence, only she is Mikudeshet, and all the other daughters do not need a get. The second part of Halacha Tet gives the parallel case, in reverse. If the father says he is marrying off Biti Haktana, only the youngest of the second group is Mikudeshet. Halacha Yud. Neman ha'av lomar al bito kolim shetiv gor, shehi mikudeshet, v'osra al akol. Ha'av shamar kidashti et biti v'eini yodea l'mi kidashtia, harezo asura le'olam al kol adam, ad shiomar ha'av nodali sheliploni kidashtia, v'tiet tzricha get mimenu bilvad, v'af al pish nodalo achar shebagra. There is a principle in halacha of reliability based on biyado. If someone has the ability to carry out some action on the spot in order to reach a certain result, he is also believed to say that the result has already been reached in the past. Therefore, the father of a ketana or nara is believed if he tells us that his daughter is mekudeshet, and therefore forbidden to everyone except her husband. If he wished to, he could be mekadesh right now. If the father reports that he was Mekadesh his daughter to someone, but doesn't remember to whom, she is forbidden to everyone until her father remembers or otherwise finds out who the husband is. This unfortunate state of affairs continues even after the girl becomes a bogeret. She remains forbidden to everyone until the identity of her husband is clarified. A variation of this case made the news and shocked the Jewish world in 1995, when a certain Mr. Goldstein from the New York area, in the midst of a bitter divorce battle, claimed that he'd accepted kiddushin for his 11-year-old daughter in front of witnesses and would not divulge the identity of the husband unless his ex-wife acceded his demands in court. This was the first recorded case of Kiddushei Ketana in hundreds of years, if the father were to be believed at all, and it brought to light the terrible predicaments which can arise when someone is determined to use anachronistic halachic mechanisms, which have no place in modern society, towards selfish and nefarious ends. Leading poskim, including Rav Shmuel Zalman Auerbach, in the last months of his life, wasted no time in refuting the credibility of Mr. Goldstein's claim, based on several considerations. His very willingness to be Mekadesh's daughter in these circumstances and for this purpose is an act of wickedness, and one is not believed to make himself a Rasha. His ulterior motive in using this kiddushin as a cudgel against his ex-wife in court makes him a nogea b'davar, an interested party, and therefore not reliable. And finally, Beit Din has the authority to simply dismiss a case when they believe it to be a din merumeh, a matter in which the parties are not acting in good faith. Halachot Yud Bet and Yud Gimel complete the case of a father who doesn't remember to whom he was Mekadesh's daughter. If a man comes forth and claims to be the husband, he is believed and there is no requirement of an additional kiddushin. If two men come forth and each claims to be the husband, then either both give a get, or one does and she marries the other, though in this case an additional kiddushin is required due to the suffix about the identity of the first husband. If in one of these cases the girl marries the man, or one of two men, who claims to be the husband, and subsequently another man comes forth and claims the same thing, this is a case of one witness testifying to forbid a married woman to her husband, by claiming that she was married before and never divorced, and he is not believed at all. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Rashba that from an even earlier point, once Beit Din has issued a ruling allowing this girl to marry, no one else is believed if he comes forth and claims to be her husband. We continue with Halacha Yudalad. Haisha Shamra, Nitkadashti, Veni Odat Lemi Nitkadashti, Uba Achad Vamar, Ani Hu Shikidashtich, Neman Litain Laget, Vetie Mutert Lachol Adam, Chutz Mimenu, Aval Eino Neman Lichnos, Shema Yitzrot Kafo, Vehi Targilo Kidei Lahatira. If an adult woman herself claims to have received Kiddushin and doesn't remember from whom, and a man comes forth claiming to be the husband, he is believed to the extent that he may give her a get, and she is free to marry someone else, not him. He himself is not believed to marry her, meaning to proceed to the stage of nisuin. The reason is that we are concerned that maybe this isn't the real husband, but simply a man who wishes to marry this woman, and she is willing to go along in order to get out of her predicament and be able to marry someone. So we forbid the two of them to marry, and thereby remove this incentive. But what if this is the real husband? Is there any way to allow them to marry? The Rama writes that if there is even one witness that this man was Mekadesher, then they are permitted to remain together and do nisuin. Halacha Tet Vav. Haomer Liisha, Kidashtich, Vihi Omeret Lo Kidashtani. Hu Asur B'Krovotea, Vihi Muter B'Krovav. Kidashtani, Vihu Omer Lo Kidashtich. Hu Mutar B'Krovotea, Vihi Asura B'Krovav. Kidashtich, Vihi Omeret Lo Kidashta Elabiti, Asur B'Krovot Gdola, Ugdola muteret bikrovav, umutar bikrovot habat, vahabat muteret bikrovav. Kidashti et bitech, vihi omeret lo kidashta ela oti, asur bikrovot habat, vahabat muteret bikrovav, umutar bikrovot haem, vahaem asura bikrovav. This halacha is an application, really four applications, of the halachic principle of shavya anafshe chaticha di isura. If a person makes a declaration of some fact, as a consequence of which something is forbidden or someone is forbidden to him, then that thing or person becomes usher to him based on his words, even if there is no further corroboration beyond his statement. So if a man tells a woman, I was Mekadesh you, and she denies it, and there are no witnesses to corroborate his story, though of course he claims to have Mekadesh her in front of witnesses, as otherwise Kiddushin are meaningless, then he is believed for the Issur ramifications which affect him. Namely, he is forbidden to her close relatives, like her mother, her sister, or her daughter. But she is permitted to all of his relatives, as she denies that she is mekudeshet him at all, and there are no witnesses to contradict her. In the opposite case, where a woman claims that a certain man was mekadesher and he denies it, she is forbidden to everyone but him, until he gives her a get. Halacha Tzayin says that we ask him to give a get in this case, as he loses nothing by doing so, and this permits her to other people. And even after receiving a get, she is forbidden, based on laws of Arayot, to his close relatives, like his father, brother, and son. If a man claims to have married a woman, and she claims that he married her daughter, or the reverse, he claims to have married her daughter, and she claims that no, he married her, then the daughter is not forbidden to his relatives. The principle of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura only applies to oneself. It cannot be used to impose Isurim on anyone else, even for the woman to impose Isurim on her own daughter. We know that there is a well-known discussion in Achronim, most famously in the Ktzot HaChoshen, about how the principle of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura works. One possibility is that it is a din of ne'emanut, that a person is believed in any matter which results in the imposition of some isur upon himself. Another is that his statement is a form of neder, meaning we don't believe him about anything, but his statement of, I was mekadesh you, is the equivalent of a vow forbidding all of her relatives to him, in the same way that he can take a neder not to eat meat or drink wine. One immediate nafkamina between these two understandings is if we can clarify through Edim or in some other objective manner that his statement isn't true. This would override any ne'emanut of his, but it has no relevance for a neder which he accepts upon himself. Another nafkamina is whether Beit Din may intervene to force him to follow the isser he imposed on himself. If, say, after he says, I was mekadesh you, he decides he wants to marry the woman's sister. If the isser is a neder, then Beit Din has this power, as they can force people to keep mitzvot. But if the isser is based on his ne'emanut, then this is a purely private matter. And if Beit Din does not have any reason to believe that he is forbidden to a woman, they may decide not to intervene to stop the marriage. Halacha Yud Zayin. Ha'oseh shaliach lekadesh lo isha, v'alach likitsha la'atzmo, ha'reizu mekudeshet la'shaliach, v'asur la'sot kein, v'chol ha'oseh davar zeh v'chayotzebo b'sha'ar divrei mekach u'memkar, nikra rasha. If a man appoints a shaliach to be mekadesh a woman to him, and the shaliach is mekadesh her to himself, this kiddushin is valid, even though the shaliach was forbidden to act in this manner, and is considered a rasha for doing so. Halach yudchet, ha'oseh shaliach lekadesh lo isha, v'alach likitsha, השליח אומר לעצמי קידשתיה, והאישה אומרת לראשון ששלחו נתקדשתי. אם לא עשה השליח ועדים, הרי השליח אסור בקרובותיה, והיא מותר בקרוביו. והאישה אסורה בקרובי המשלח, והמשלח מותר בקרובותיה. ואם הוחזק השליח ועדים, הרי זו מקודשת לראשון. Suppose the shaliach claims to have been mekadesh the woman to himself, but the woman claims that he was mekadesh her to the mishaliach. The Rambam writes that the din depends on whether the mishaleach appointed the shliach in front of witnesses or not. Recall from Perek Gimel Halacha Tet Vav that the Rambam does not, in general, require the shliach of a man to be mekadesh a woman to be appointed in front of witnesses. If the appointment was not in front of witnesses, then the shliach can claim that he married her to himself, because if he wished, he could deny that he was ever a shliach at all. But if there were witnesses to the appointment of the shaliach, then he cannot deny that he was appointed, and therefore this claim that he abandoned his shlichut and was mekadesher for himself is not believed. The Ravid, who back in Perek Gimel wrote that a shaliach to be mekadesh a woman must always be appointed in the presence of witnesses, has a long hasaga here rejecting the position of the Rambam, both regarding the case and regarding the important criterion. The source of this halacha is a Tosefta quoted in the Yerushalmi, which the Ravid understands to discuss whether the mishaleach is forbidden to the woman's relatives if the shaliach claims to have been mekadeshur for himself, while she claims that she accepted the kiddushin with the understanding that she was mekudeshet to the mishaleach. The important criterion in the words of the Tosefta is huchzak hashaliach ba'idim, which doesn't mean for the Ravid if he was appointed with edim. The Ravid believes this is always required, but rather if the appointment was publicized and known in the woman's location. If it was, then the shaliach is not believed that he deviated from his shlichut, and so the mishaleach is forbidden to her relatives. But if she only knows about the mishaleach from the shaliach himself, then he is believed in his claim that when he was mekadesher, it was for himself and not for the mishaleach, and therefore the mishaleach would be permitted to her relatives. Halacha Chaf. Ha'isha sha'asat shaliach lekadsha, v'alach v'kidsha, uve'et halichato bitla shlichut v'chazraba, ואין ידוע אם קודם שקיבל בה קידושין חזרה או אחר הקידושין. הרי זו מקודשת מספק, וכן האיש שעשה שליח וחזר בו. Anyone who appoints a shaliach can cancel the shlichut at any time. Suppose that one side of the kiddushin, the man or the woman, appoints a shaliach and later nullifies the shlichut. Meanwhile, the shliach carries out his mission and the act of kiddushin went through. We have no way to know if the nullification took place before or after the act of kiddushin. Therefore, she is mikudeshet misafek. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Hamakadesh achat mechamesh nashim, v'no yodea eizem hen kiddesh. V'chol achat v'achat omeret oti kiddesh. Asur bikrovot kulan, v'notein get l'chol achat v'achat. U'maniach ketuba achat b'nehen u'mistalek. V'im kiddesh b'viyah, kansu oto chachamim sh'yitein ketuba l'chol achat v'achat. If a man is Mekadesh one of five women, and doesn't remember which one, and each of the five claims to be Mekudeshet to him, then he is forbidden to the relatives of all of them, and must give a get to each one, though he may marry one of them if she is not a close relative of any of the others. Since he only obligated himself in a single ketubah, he only needs to pay the value of one ketubah, which is split among the women to whom he gives a get. However, if he was Mekadesh them with Bia, which is Asur Midrabbanan, as we saw at the end of Perek Gimel, then Chazal fined him and required him to give a full ketubah to each woman. Halacha Chaf Bet. Ha'isha she'atza aleha kol, she mekudeshet liploni, ha'rezo b'cheskat mekudeshet, af al pi she'ein sham raya brura, v'chol kol shelo huchzak b'vei din, ein choshishin lo, v'cheitzadu ha'kol she'tuchzak bo, she mekudeshet, כגון שבאו שניים והעידו שראו הנרות דולקים ומיטות מוצאות ובני אדם נכנסים ויוצאים ונשים שמחות לה ואומרות נתקדשה פלונית היום, נתקדשה פלונית היום. שמעו אותן אומרות פלונית תתקדש היום, אין חוששים לה. שמה נזדמנו לקדש ולא נתקדשה עד שישמעו שנתקדשה. The rest of this perek deals with cases of a woman about whom we are unsure if she was mekudeshet. This halacha establishes that we may assume a woman to be mekudeshet based on a kol, a rumor or word of mouth, as long as this rumor is determined by Beit Din to be reliable. How do Beit Din determine this? If witnesses come forward and testify that they saw all the trappings of a wedding, like lit candles, cushions set up for reclining, and people entering and leaving, and the witnesses report hearing people say, so-and-so was mekudeshet today, then this is considered a reliable kol. If they only say that they heard so-and-so will be Mekudesha today, this is insufficient, as it is always possible that a planned wedding didn't actually happen. Halacha Chaf Gimel. B'me Devarim Amurim, Shelo Haita Sham Amatla. Aval Im Haita Sham Amatla, V'shamu Hamatla K'sheshamu Shenitkadsha, Lo Huchzika Mekudeshet. Keitzad Hi Amatla, Plonit Nitkadsha Al Tanai, O Kiddushei Safek, Lo Huchzika. Ela Sholin Ota, וסומכין על דבריה, הועיל ואין שם ראיה ברורה ולא קול חזק. Any call which is strong enough to determine that a woman is mekudeshet can be countered and nullified by an amatla, a reasonable explanation why all the indicators were there even though she wasn't actually mekudeshet, as long as the amatla was heard by Beit Din at the same time as the call. An example is if they heard that the Kiddushin indeed happened, but it was made dependent on some Tanai, or the circumstances of the Kiddushin created a Suffolk whether it was really valid. In this case, Beit Din questions the woman in order to determine what really happened. She is believed because there is no strong evidence against her, only a kol weakened by an amatla. Halacha Chaf Dalet. Yatza alea kol shnitkadsha lifloni, ulachar yamim amru amatla, אם מרין הדברים לבית דין שהוא כן, סומכין על המטלה, ולא תוחזק מקודשת. ואם לאו, הועיל ולא נשמעה המטלה בעת שנשמעו הקידושין, אין חוששים להמטלה. If the amatla only emerged several days or longer after Beit Din determined, based on the reliable kol, that the woman is mekudeshet, then Beit Din examined the amatla, and only if it too is found to be reliable will Beit Din reevaluate the case and determine that she is not mekudeshet. If the amatla is found to be weak, then Beit Din leaves the original decision in place. Halacha Chaf Hei recounts a story of this type, in which Beit Din determined a woman to be married based on a kol, and then heard from the father of the supposed husband that the kiddushin was actually made al tanai, and the tanai was not fulfilled in the end. Beit Din didn't consider this a reliable enough amatla to cancel the original kol entirely, but they were choshishim for it and declared the woman to be safek mikudeshet. Halacha Chaf Vav. יצא עליה כל שהיא מקודשת לפלוני, ובה שני וקידשה בפנינו. בודקין על קידושי ראשון, שאין בכל. אם באו עדים בראיה ברורה שהיא מקודשת הראשון, אין קידושי שני כלום. ואם לאו, מגרש ראשון שקידושיו בכל, ונושא השני שקידושיו ודאי. ואם גרש השני, לא יכנוס הראשון. שמה יאמרו, החזיר גרושתו מן הירסין, אחר שנתרסה לאחר. If a woman who was determined to be mekudeshet based on a kol later accepts kiddushin from someone else in front of witnesses, Beit Din must further investigate the supposed first kiddushin. If witnesses can provide strong proof that there was a valid first kiddushin, then the second kiddushin are meaningless. If not, then the first husband whose kiddushin are based on kol must divorce her so she can marry the second husband, who we know for sure did an act of kiddushin. That is, Kiddushei Vadai beats out a Kiddushin based on Kol. Furthermore, if the second husband gives her a get, she may not return to the first husband, as this resembles a case of Machzir Grushato. An onlooker sees that she was considered married to the first husband, then was considered married to the second husband, and now is back with the first. His erroneous but justified conclusion is that the first husband divorced her, then she married the second, and after being divorced from the second, is returning to the first husband in violation of the Isser of Machzir Grushato. Halacha Chaf Zayin says that if two competing kolot emerge about the same woman being married to two different husbands, then either one may give a get, and she may proceed to Nisuin with the other one. Halacha Kaf Chet. מקום שנהגו לשלוח סבלונות לרוסה אחר שתתארס, ובאו עדים שראו סבלונות הובלו לה, חוששים לה שמה נתקדשה, וצריכה גט מספק, אף על פי שרוב אנשי העיר אין משלחין אלא קודם האירסין. ומקום שנהגו כולם לשלוח הסבלונות תחילה, ואחר כך מקדשים, וראו סבלונות, אין חוששים לה. There used to be a custom for the husband to send gifts, סבלונות, to a woman after Kiddushin, though many people would send them prior to the Kiddushin. If Edim see that a man sent a woman Sivlonot, this is enough of a reason to consider her Safek Mikudeshet, and to require a get for her to marry someone else, even if this took place in a city where most people send Sivlonot before Kiddushin. But if the universal custom in the city is to send Sivlonot before Kiddushin, then this testimony is not sufficient to consider her even Safek Mekudeshet, as they only saw something that goes on before Kiddushin. Halacha Chavtet says that there is a parallel din if we find out that a man wrote a ketubah for a woman. Some people write a ketubah before Kiddushin, and some write it after. If at least some people in that city write a ketubah after Kiddushin, then this is enough to consider her Safek Mekudeshet. But if the universal custom in that city is to write the ketubah before Kiddushin, then she is not even Safek Mekudeshet. Halacha Lamed. Shnayim omrim re'inua shnitkadsha biyom ploni, u'shnayim omrim lo re'inua, af al pi shekulam shochnim b'chatzer achat, harei zu mekudeshet, she'ein lo re'inua ra'aya, she'derech ha'am kadesh b'tzina. If two witnesses say they saw a woman get married, and two others say they were in the courtyard at the time and saw no such thing, she is considered mekudeshet. Not seeing something isn't a proof that it didn't happen, as some people are mekadesh in a discreet and private manner. The last halach of the perek discusses a woman who makes different claims about her marital status. Amar eid echad, mekudeshet hi zo, v'hi omeret lo nitkadashti, harei zo muteret. Echad omer mekudeshet, v'echad omer eina mekudeshet, לא תנסה, ואם ניסית, לא תצא, שרי היא אומרת, לא נתקדשתי. These lines seem not to make sense. The first part of what we read says that if one witness says about a certain woman that she is mekudeshet, and she denies it, then she is believed against one witness and permitted to marry anyone. The second part of what we read says that if in addition to the witness who said she was married and her own claim to the contrary, there is also a witness supporting her who says that she isn't married, then she may not marry the chatchila, but if she does, then she may stay married. How can it be that in the second case, where her position is stronger because of the witness who supports her claim, she ends up in a worse position, asur lechatchila to marry, not completely permitted like in the first case? The Ravid points out this problem and explains that the second case must be one where, contrary to the Rambam's presentation, there is only one witness on each side and the woman makes no claim at all. Why would she have no claim? This can happen in a case where the witnesses debate whether her father received Kiddushin on her behalf when she was younger, something she herself knows nothing about. Alternatively, it could be a case where the man threw the Kiddushin to her and the witnesses debate whether it landed Karov Lo or Karov La. We define these terms precisely at the end of Perek Dalet. Also a point she does not know herself. Since the woman's claim about herself is stronger than a single witness, she may marry in the first case, but not lechatchila in the second. The Maggid Mishnah suggests an explanation for the Rambam. Ironically, it may be that a woman's claim not to be mikudeshet is weaker when there is a witness supporting it than when there isn't. The reason her claim is believed against one witness who says she is mikudeshet is because of a presumption that einam mi'iza paneha, a woman would not brazenly contradict a witness to her marriage unless she honestly knew him to be wrong. Similar to a presumption we discuss in Perek Dalet about a woman who tells her husband that he divorced her. But if there is a witness supporting her, then she is more likely to be mi'iza paneha because of the outside support, and so her claim doesn't contribute anything beyond the testimony of the witness on her behalf. So the difference between the two cases in the Rambam ends up being the same as for the Ravid, just for a different reason. In the first case, she has her own claim not to be mikudeshet, and in the second case, she has only a single witness because her claim not to be mikudeshet has no additional force. Continuing in Halacha Lamed Aleph. Amra, mikudeshet ani, ulachar zman, amda v'kidsha atzma, im natna amat ali dvareha, v'amra mipnei kach v'kach amarti batchila shani mikudeshet, v'ra'inu bidvareha mamash, harei zu mutert l'sheni. V'im lo natna amatla, osh natna v'ein ba mamash, harei zu asura, v'kidushei sheni kidushei safek. L'fichach noten laget, v'ti asura alav v'al hakol, ad shiavo arusa. V'chein ha'isha shebat v'amra, Eshet ishani, v'chazra v'amra pnuyani, im natna amata lidvareha, v'esh bidvareha mamash, harei zo nemeret. If a woman claims to be mikudeshet and later received kiddushin from someone else, we question her. If she can provide a convincing amatla to explain her earlier claim to be mikudeshet, even though she actually wasn't, then she's mutar to the second man. If she has no amatla, or if Beitin are not convinced by her amatla, then she is forbidden to the second man, and her kiddushin to him is considered kiddushei safek. He must give her a get, and she is forbidden to everyone but the man to whom she originally claimed to be mikudeshet. Similarly, if a woman claims to be an eshet ish, and later claims to be unmarried, she is only believed in her second claim, and permitted to marry anyone if she can provide a convincing amatla for her earlier claim to the contrary.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.